connecting with people through food, I can't think of any other way or any better way to connect with people. And food, health, and wellness is just baseline in our life. It's almost something you don't want to think about, but it's so important and can be so impactful. To me, it's just such a special way, again, to connect. I love being a part of it.
Welcome to Common Roots, an infra podcast.
And I'm your host, Haley Craig.
Independent natural food retailers are as diverse and unique as the communities they serve. From urban to rural, East Coast to West Coast, small to large, there's one thing that these stores have in common: a deep commitment to providing healthy foods to their communities. In celebration of Infra's 20th anniversary, we're handing over the mic to 20 Infra members to share their challenges and triumphs in navigating the world of natural food retail. Are our common roots really so common? Let's find out. Today, we are joined by Adam Williams from Turnip Truck, and this is their story. Well, thank you so much for joining me today here on Common Roots, Adam. Would you just mind starting off by introducing yourself and telling us a little bit about your store and its history?
Yeah, sure. My name is Adam Williams. I'm the CFO at the Turnip Truck. I've been here for 11 years, but the story of the Turnip Truck really starts with our founder, John Dyke. You know, John is from East Tennessee and a little town called Greenville. He grew up on a farm, so he's got, deep roots in agriculture and in the land and things like that. And John went to school for business. And from there, he ended up getting into medical sales. And he did that for a few years, which landed him eventually in Nashville. And you might have heard this story before if you're at the Infra conference last year. This is part of my presentation, but the story really kind of funnily starts with John and his horrible allergies. He's got these really bad allergies sometimes that cause sinus infections. So coming to Nashville, he was, he knew about bee pollen and kind of how that can help with allergies sometimes. So he crossed the river. He lived in East Nashville. He crossed the river to West Nashville, and he was going to this little natural food store called Sunshine Grocery. It's funny because I didn't know John at the time, but I actually kind of grew up in the aisles of Sunshine Grocery. My parents shopped there quite a bit. They were old hippies back in the day, and it's kind of where everybody went. That was the only place in town. But anyway, John went to go in there and just for this bee pollen. And, he started seeing some things he recognized from his childhood, like ugly tomatoes and muskmelons and, some things like that. And another thing he kept seeing over there were his neighbors. And it's like, what are you guys doing over here? It's like, well, I love this place. It's got all these things that you can't really get anywhere else. And so John got this crazy idea. Hey, I'm going to open a natural food store. I'm going to open one in East Nashville and give something back to my neighbors and my community over there, because I really think they deserve that. And so John took his life savings and kind of quit his job in medical sales, hit the road, went to a few expos, just really tried to immerse himself in the industry, and then acted as a general contractor and opened a store in a spooky old car shop in East Nashville. It's about 2,300 square feet. Got some great old pictures. I was showing them some folks. I'm like, they really are. They look kind of like from a horror movie or something. There's like spider webs and like black splotches everywhere. But, so that was in 2001. That was almost 25 years ago. We're looking at celebrating our 25th anniversary this May. And so that's kind of the genesis of Turnip Truck. It opened in 2001. In 2010, John opened a store in the Gulch, which is a neighborhood right outside of downtown. So that was his second location. That was about a 10,000 square foot store. I came on about mid-2014. I'd been working at a retail wholesale like French cafe and bakery concept here in Nashville for about 10 years prior. And my partner over there and I had been trying to acquire the business. We'd been there for quite some time. It's kind of negotiations were dragging out with the current owners, and John was looking to expand Turnip Truck. So he made us basically an offer we couldn't refuse. And It's the best decision I ever made. You know, again, my mom was like really on the forefront of organics in Nashville. She had an organic landscaping company in the 90s, which at that time, nothing existed like that. And my dad, you know, we always had a big garden in the backyard. And so they really kind of ingrained this deep love of food and natural food in me. So I was really excited to come along and join John here. So that was in 2014. 2015, we were trying to figure out how to stay in the original building up the street. The lease was ending. They wanted to do some development on that lot. And we just couldn't figure out how to get everything we needed with the growth of the store. That store over there was doing insane business for the size. It was doing very well. And so we had to look for a bigger building, and they weren't able to offer that. So we ended up partnering with some folks up the street to build our own building on the land, and went from a 2,300 square foot store to a 18,000 square foot store. And so that was one of the first things I did coming on with John, not only kind of try to revamp the accounting system and the POS and all that, but helping him construct this building up here. So we moved up the street about two blocks in East Nashville into our current home, which is also our headquarters for the stores. We have our offices up here on the second floor. But yeah, so we moved two blocks up the street into a bigger building. Kind of fast forward 2018, we were looking, we're like, okay, you know, things are going well. We'd like to expand. We know there's some other opportunities in Nashville. We found a property in West Nashville on Charlotte Avenue and acquired that. It took about 2 years to get going, but we finally were getting out of the door. And then the tornado happened. And you probably don't know about the tornado if you did live here, but it was pretty major tornado that went kind of right through from west to east in Nashville. And in the East Nashville store, I mean, from the parking lot, you could look out from the parking lot and see the next street over. You could see buildings that were completely demolished. But thankfully, our building on Woodland Street, even though it's like 50% glass, not even a pane of glass got broken. So it was just divine intervention or something. But so it didn't hit our West Nashville store that was supposed to open that week either. But it did hit our warehouse that was like about a mile from it. And it had all of our kind of like small to medium ware or medium size equipment. So we had like undercounter refrigerators, checkout lanes. We had all this stuff that, you know, you think you could turn around and get, but really a lot of it is pretty fair lead time items. So thankfully at the time there was another fairly large retailer that had filed for bankruptcy, and they had stores that are only operating for like 6 months. So John and I got on the auction circuit, and we were able to kind of gather up everything we needed, and we were ready to open the store the third week of March 2020, and then COVID happened. So we still got open, but it was a very weird time to start forming new habits with grocery shoppers at a time when, you know, a lot of people couldn't leave their house except to go shop for grocery. But, you know, fast forward a few years, we've been working on our fourth store that we just opened here in Midtown Nashville. It's right next to Vanderbilt campus, and it's actually at the bottom of the Vanderbilt graduate housing there. And it's our biggest store. It's 23,500 square feet. Great area of town. Midtown is just kind of full of mid-rises, a lot of apartments and things like that. But we actually have about 600 students living above us. So nice captive audience. Vanderbilt's a great university. The kind of folks that Vanderbilt attracts are the kind of people that are our customers. So we just love being in that neighborhood over there. And the store turned out beautiful.
Thank you for that backstory. And yeah, it seems like since you've been a part of Turn Up Truck, you've been a part of this huge growth that it's experienced. I mean, four locations, that's huge. And I would also love to know, I've always been curious because I feel like the name Turnip Truck has always really stood out against, you know, I feel like there's kind of a theme with a lot of natural food store names. And so Turnip Truck has always stood out to me. Could you share the story behind that name and what that means to you? Yeah,
absolutely. It's kind of funny because we actually, 2001, we opened, and we didn't open as a Turnip Truck. We opened as the Good Earth Market. And I'm glad that we changed our name along the way, because there's already a very very nice store on the West Coast named the Good Earth Market. And I really love those guys out there too. They do a great job. But so we opened as the Good Earth Market in 2001, and about a year in, John got a call from an attorney. So he got this call and he said it was kind of like a big city attorney, and he was very condescending. I think he said it was Good Earth Tea. But they called him and basically were like, yeah, we're going to send you a cease and desist. You can't use that name, you know? And it's just like, well, geez, what do I do here? And just, this guy is just being very rude. He's like, you think I just fell off the turnip truck, which is, you know, kind of used to be a saying that Johnny Carson coined, I think, in like the 60s or 70s. And so he said that to the attorney, and they got off the phone, and he just got to thinking, he's like, you know, that's, I kind of like that. So he turned the name of the turnip truck, and that's how it all started. And, you know, I think it kind of plays to us. It's kind of whimsical and fun, and it's different. And, you know, yeah, there's a lot of earths and harvests and things like that in names, and you can understand why, but turnip truck's definitely something memorable and something that makes us stand out. So we've really embraced it. And our mascot is the little turnip truck man. You see him in a lot of our branding here in stores.
I love that. What a fun story. And yeah, agreed. It does really make you stand out. Lovely. Okay. And I would also love to know, I mean, you talked a little bit about, you have the four locations in different neighborhoods in Nashville. And I feel like Nashville especially has such a unique mix of demographics of people and neighborhoods. So I would love to know how you would describe the natural food scene there. Is there, you know, a big natural food craze? Is there a lot of corporate competition? What would you say is kind of Nashville's approach to natural and local food?
Yeah. First off, I was born and raised in Nashville, so I'm pretty biased. I think Nashville's a great place. It's changed a lot since I've lived here, though. It used to be kind of this sleepy town with a little music industry. And, you know, in the past decade plus, it's been one of the fastest growing cities in the United States. And so for better and worse, when I was growing up, all my friends were like artists and musicians. And now I feel like it's harder and harder every day to kind of chisel out a life doing stuff like that. And so I hope we don't lose our personality and our soul along the way. But back to the natural food question. You know, I would say the natural food scene is still evolving in Nashville. The South, I think, has a deep food tradition that is not necessarily rooted in like health and things like that. It does have roots in kind of agriculture and rural tradition and things, but not necessarily maybe like more modern ideas of health, even though I think there are some components that definitely lend themselves to health. So I have to go back to kind of what I was talking about earlier. You know, in the 90s, there was one natural food store in town. Actually, here, let me take the story a little bit further. I mentioned Sunshine Grocery. It operated on Belmont Boulevard for many years, but actually where it started in 1978 was the exact spot where we opened our Midtown store. And that's like where the first natural food store in Nashville ever existed. They moved over kind of across town. But so that was the only game in town. They operated there for a great many years. I think in 98, Wild Oats bought them. And so Wild Oats would be the only other in town. John opened Turnip Truck in 2001. Wild Oats got bought out by Whole Foods around that time. I think it was early 2000, like maybe two or three. So that's kind of the backdrop. It's not, you know, it's evolving. We can't go as far where we'd like to with some products just because people aren't as familiar with the things, or maybe they're not ready to kind of take that leap into health and kind of the extra resources it takes to, you know, be organic or be regenerative or just all these extra steps that some in the natural food industry are doing and pioneering. But Nashville's come a tremendous way, and I think it actually has a very good scene now, especially compared to where it's been in the past 20 years. It's evolved tremendously, and I can't help to think that we've been part of that. So I'm really proud of introducing the people in this area to new and fun products that they might not have tried otherwise. And yeah, we've got three Whole Foods in town. I think they just opened their fifth Sprouts in the metro area. They're more kind of suburban here, though. We're kind of at the core of downtown Nashville at Turnip Truck.
Yeah, I think it's always interesting talking to owners
and our stores that are in the South, because there is always this interesting dichotomy of, you know, whether that be they're in a food desert or they are in communities that don't have access to a lot of healthy natural foods. So there's always kind of this interesting push and pull. But I wasn't quite familiar with what that looked like in Nashville. So
yeah, that was one of the most exciting things about the IFRA agreement with KeHE is some of the slotting rights that were negotiated for the warehouse. Because, you know, typically and historically, Turp Truck was a unified primary ever since its existence when it was Cornucopia Foods like a million years ago. We just went on supply agreement this year. So with Unify, you're always just kind of riding the coattails of Whole Foods and whatever they could get. So unless you were going through somebody else, you were kind of like beholden to whatever was in the Whole Foods mix. But with KeHE, Infra has certain slotting rights. So we're really hoping to be able to try to revolutionize further what is available in the Southeast. Because, you know, we go to Expo West, we get super excited, we see all these really cool products. And we talk to the supplier and they're like, yeah, we're in every DC except for the Southeast. It's like, ah, familiar story. Hear it over and over again. But, you know, we're hoping to change that and we're hoping to be a part of that change.
Absolutely. No, that's great. And I mean, I think it speaks volumes that you have 4 locations, you're doing well. And even when, kind of a side tangent, but even when I was, you know, doing some research on Turnip Truck before we were chatting, I came across one of the first things that popped up was a Reddit thread of people, I'm assuming, who live in Nashville, just talking about the Turnip Truck and being like, I can't believe they, you know, we have 4 of these natural food stores here and they're affordable. And it was just like all of these people raving about it. So in case you didn't know that, that was, yeah, exciting to see.
Yeah, very humbled by that. I mean, we just go in every day, like with our heads down, trying to do the best we can. I don't think we like pat ourselves on the back really, or, you know, really think too much about, not about our ego or like what we've accomplished. We just keep thinking about like, how can we make it better? How can we serve our customers better?
Lovely. I mean, you already touched a little bit on Infra, but I would love to chat about when you initially joined Infra, which I believe was 2010, and kind of what initially motivated you to want to become a member of Infra. What inspired that that shift?
Yeah, we were talking about this the other day, and I think at first, John was a little skeptical. He's like, you know, I've got problems in Nashville. I can't think about like, you know, Infra or whatever you guys are doing. Like, I've got my hands full. I just need to focus on this. And John would go to shows and Corinne would be there and she'd be flagging him down. John, you know, you should really join. Yeah, I'll think about it. You know, just give me time. And I guess, you know, probably the reason John joined is because he's rather tall. And it was kind of hard to duck Corinne for too long. So I think she finally got a hold of him and talked him into it. But no, I think, you know, at the time, John just saw that there were some things, there was a lot of things that he was able to learn and know himself just through operating the business. But there were a lot of things that he could use help on and assistance. And so having that brain trust of Infra and being able to interact with other members and all those things were things that he really needed in a little bit more formal setting than just like getting the business card here or there at a show. So I think that's why he joined back in 2010.
Lovely. And we're so lucky to have you be a part of our association. And also, of course, to take it a step further, you currently are serving on our Infra board of directors. So I would also love to know, you know, what inspired you to get involved at that level and what your experience has been like so far?
So, you know, I guess it's not something that I had really considered. You know, I think the first Infra conference I went to was in 2015 at the St. Paul Hotel. I just remember meeting several board members there. I remember hanging out with John Pitari, you know, just meeting incredible people, and especially the people on the board, just outgoing, super intelligent, and I wanted to be a part of that. You know, I wanted to surround myself with that. We were, I think, you know, a couple of people had reached out and said, hey, have you ever considered this? Because, you know, the Infra board does seek to have diversity on the board. And by that, I mean regional representation, but also kind of a broad stroke of backgrounds. And since I had more of a financial background as my base, they saw that and being from the Southeast as like a desirable member to the board of directors there. So, but I say, you know, for me, just understanding that organizations like Infra are so key to the survival of independent grocers as time goes on because of just the vertical integration of the industry. I wanted to be a part of that. And when people reached out and showed interest in me being a part, I was completely humbled. I was like, wow, I'm going to do this. I'm going to try anyway. And actually, it's funny. I originally signed up to be part of the election process in, I think, 2022. And I tied with Jason Bander and they did a coin toss and Jason won. So, and I was like, you know what? The time wasn't right. It's okay. It's not, you know, there'll be other times. And we were kind of getting going on our Midtown project then too. I'm like, I'll have my hands full. It's fine. You know? And then they had a resignation a couple years later and they reached out and said, hey, would you be interested? And it was like, absolutely. And so I was able to join as an interim board member for a moment. And then on the next election, I was elected. And so again, I've talked to many folks at the conference and it shows, and I assume that's why they voted for me. But I'm just humbled that members would select me to represent them on the board. It's been a great experience. This is my first board experience. And again, just the individuals there are truly remarkable in all their own unique ways. I learned so much, and I'm hoping that I can give as much as I learned while also helping steer the organization to a bright future.
Yeah. Yeah. And I mean, I agree with you there, not to toot our own horn, but our board is, I feel like it's represents the diversity that we have as Infra as a whole. And yeah, it's just a great group of folks who all bring something to the table. So thank you for being a part of that. And just to touch on products a little bit, because I'm really curious, you know, something you emphasize is local produce and local vendors in general. So I would just love to know how you have built and maintained your relationship with local farmers and what that kind of looks like in your community.
Yeah. So, yeah, I mean, local is obviously a huge part of what we do here. We do business with, I think, over 100 local vendors are represented in the store. You know, going back to what you asked about farmers, we really consider produce to be the heart of the store. You know, when you come in and We had one of our team members say this, Kelsey. She said, you know, when you come in and the produce fresh, the whole store seems fresh. And it really does. It's like contagious, but it's just, you come in and it gives off a certain energy. I don't know how else to put it. So John actually hosted the first, what I'll say is, community farmers market in the turnip truck parking lot many, many years ago. And, you know, it's kind of sad during the pandemic. A lot of our local farmers here in Tennessee had switched to more of a CSA model. So it's been harder and harder to get local produce in, but we still have a handful that we work with. And so the important thing in working with them is just making sure, you know, you have discussions before the season starts to see kind of what they're planning and what you can rely on a consistent basis. Because that's the biggest thing is, like, we want to feature these products. We want to definitely support these products, but we have to count on the products to be on the shelf. We can't, you know, customers going to come in, they want a local carrot or a local radish, but even if that's not available, they want that product. So we've just got to, it takes conversations and planning with them to make sure that they're going to be able to supply us, especially now with 4 stores, it gets harder and harder. We actually had even some grocery vendors. We had a milk vendor that we like a lot that when we opened Midtown, they're just like, we can only do the 3 stores. We can't do anymore. It's like, you know what? I understand, you know, but we're also looking at some other regional, say, neighboring states. Kentucky, North Carolina have a lot of great agriculture. We're looking to try to tap into that a little bit more. We've got a great produce partnership with 4 Seasons who, you know, they don't have growers in the Nashville area, but they've got just such a great culture and a great network of farmers that they source from. They've been great partners. But in terms of other products, yeah, I mean, we've got so many in the store. It's even hard to count. And I'd say, you know, they come to us because they know our reputation of supporting them. They know that our customers support them. Some are a good fit. Some we have to kind of educate a little bit. It's like, well, do you have a barcode or, you know, How's your invoicing standardized? Just, you know, just details like that. And so it's really a great relationship in terms of, you know, us getting really innovative, cool things that our customers are going to appreciate, and in some ways helping them kind of get their foot more into business and kind of learn what it would take to scale to the next level.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, and I think it is such a, it can be a finicky thing to, you know, deal with all these separate vendors. And I think it was when I was, I had an episode where I was chatting with Mary from Swamp Rabbit in Greenville. And she was talking about their relationship with local vendors. And she was like, yeah, I'm signing like hundreds of invoices every week because they're all separate, all on different, you know, formats, whatever. Like, it's kind of a mess, but it's so worth it, right? Because like, that's kind of the game you have to play. And to your point, I mean, the produce is one thing, and that is such a powerful thing to walk in and see in a store, but also local products. It stands out. It adds vibrancy to your store when, you know, you're not just seeing all the same labels everywhere and all the same brands. It all contributes to that vibrancy.
Right.
So I love that you brought that up.
Yeah. I mean, it's so important for the food system to have this diversity of food and to have a space where other brands can break through. I've still got friends that just love to shop at Costco, and maybe they like organics and stuff too, but they're like, I love Costco. And I'm like, you need to really consider this in a different way, because if all you did is support Costco, then you're just going to have monoculture of food and you're just going to have whatever Costco picks. The reason that Costco is able to have what Costco has is because of smaller businesses that let other brands get a chance and get a foothold and start that next trend, or really help people connect with something that's important to them that wasn't being represented before. So I'm still trying to win some fights with some of my friends that aren't as attuned to the industry. But yeah, another cool thing is there's been so many brands that have started, or, you know, Turbo Truck might've been like their first or second or third account, that are like nationwide now. And it's pretty incredible. One, I wasn't here at the time, but there's the Honey Pot. I think it was like it's a feminine care product line. And I mean, we were their first account, and now they're nationwide. They're in Target and just like everywhere else. And I think of a kind of a smaller case is like Walker Brothers Kombucha. I knew the Walker Brothers from before they started the kombucha company, and friends with them at their various businesses. And they started this kombucha company. Now they're like half the country. And it's so cool, because they're the best guys too. But there's so many stories like that of just small businesses getting a foothold in Turnip Truck and our customers, you know, just helping propel them into a bigger spotlight. And I love it.
Yeah. It is. Yeah. It's like a mutualistic relationship. Small guys helping the small guys, and everyone wins. I have potentially a difficult question for you, but I would love to know, what is something that you love most or that excites you about the natural foods industry today?
Well, yeah, you know, first of all, I love food. It sounds like such a silly thing to say, because I mean, who doesn't love food? I guess they're probably not with us anymore. They've probably died because they stopped eating. But I really do. I've got kind of, before I was in natural food world, I was kind of in culinary world with the business that I spoke on a little bit earlier. My wife's a pastry chef. Like, one of my favorite things to do is go out and try different cuisines. And I'm really into like gardening. And food is just this very special thing for me. So I love being a part of that. But I'd say like this business specifically and this industry is the energy that you get from it. Just everybody's so happy to be here. And that's something in our business too. It's been always so easy to find talent, because there's just people that are drawn to this, and they all might have their different reasons. Maybe like one is a foodie, and one, like maybe somebody in their family was sick, or they were sick and they're looking for ways to, you know, stay healthy, or whatever the reason. It's just, this industry is like a magnet for so many great people. And so, you know, I love that component. And then just, I think I said this earlier, but connecting with people through food, I can't think of any other way or any better way to connect with people. And food, health, and wellness is just, it's so just baseline in our life. It's almost something you don't want to think about, but it's so important and can be so impactful. To me, it's just such a special way again to connect. I love being a part of it.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, and I think, you know, it's also everyone has, like you said, their own story of how they got into the industry, whether it be, yeah, a health issue or I was born on the floor of a natural food store, like passed down through families. Everyone has their thing, but that's what creates this lovely diversity. And also, I think, to the points that you made, a lot of this energy that people have, it's, you know, it's not about doing things the easy way or doing things like we're just selling food because we need to sell food. It's, you know, it's something different. It is like art. It's, you know, it's curating something more special than just the food. So I love the way that you put that. But I would love to know what you would say is the most valuable lesson that you have learned in your time at Turnip Truck.
Oh, yeah. Well, I've learned a lot. I've learned quite a bit. And I learn every day. I mean, I think that's one of the biggest things for us is, you know, you just have to wake up every day and relearn and be open, because things are constantly changing. Your industry is constantly changing. Business is constantly changing. So back to your question, you know, my history and background is more finance and numbers and things like that are very black and white. So I come from kind of a base of things are this or that, and they're pretty easy to dissect. But I think one of the biggest things I've learned being at Turnip Truck is that people remember the way you make them feel. You know, what I mean by that is you could go up the street to Kroger and maybe get a carton of eggs for 50 cents cheaper. But you come to Turnip Truck and you might pay a little more, but you're supporting something special. Our staff is going to treat you like you're special. The buildings are fun. They've got a great feel. They've got lots of natural light. And that's what people remember, you know, when they walk out the door. And they might remember the 50 cents, but they're going to remember, man, I felt good being a Turnip Truck. And that's kind of, I think that's what sets us apart. I think the way we make our customers feel, and they want to support our mission. They want to support what we're doing here. And I think that's so important. That's something that, you know, I've probably known self-consciously, but it's really come to the forefront being in this industry and being at the Turnip Truck. It's very important.
Yeah, that is so beautiful and so true, because yeah, it's like at Kroger, they don't know your name. They're, you know, may or may not ask if you need help finding something. There's not the thought and intention put behind every, you know, end cap and signage and all of those things. So yeah, it's a feeling. Amazing. Okay, well, those were all the questions that I had for you. Is there anything else that you would like to shout out or say that you didn't get a chance to share?
No, I always say, anytime people give me a chance to talk is come visit Nashville. Come say hi to us. I love anytime I go to another city, that's the first thing I'm doing, looking up restaurants and looking up grocery stores. And so I hope folks do the same thing. If they ever come to Nashville, adam@theturnuptruck.com. I'd love to show you through the store. Just come say hi. I'd love to hear a little bit about you. But no, I invite everybody to come see what we've got going on here and us learn from each other, because we're all in this together and we're going to succeed together.
Thank you for tuning in to Common Roots. This episode has been made possible thanks to the hard work of Infra staff and Infra member contributors. To learn more about the retailers we serve, visit our retailer directory at naturalfoodretailers.com/retailer-directory.